Hi, Alicia from the Lorehounds here. I'm genuinely excited about this new sponsor we're working with this fall because they've played an important role in my family's holidays and special events for many years now. I'm talking about Uncommon Goods, my and my family's favorite place to buy gifts for each other. Their official tagline is Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else, which is absolutely true. But if you know me at all, you know that I get excited about unique, quirky products made by artisans and other creative people. I just personally love scrolling through their website and stumbling across such specific items I'd never find anywhere else. Over the years, I've gotten everything from personalized puzzles to retro viewfinders with family photos to beer brewing or wine aroma kits. And my latest purchase is a 3-in-1 convertible bag. It's a gift for my mom to thank her for everything she's done to help me through my tougher moments. And I'm getting started on my holiday shopping earlier this year, too. Need to make sure that I leave plenty of time for gifts to arrive. With the recent unpredictability in shipping. If you're thinking the same, then good news. We can offer you a 15% discount when you shop on Uncommon Goods and drop our name. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/lorehounds. That's uncommongoods.com/lorehounds for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Hello, Alicia here with a special Halloween bonus. This is part of our What You Watchin' series, which is basically a subscriber-only series where we can talk about anything that we happen to be watching that we don't have time to cover on the main feed. And so Marilyn came to me about doing an episode about the new Dick Turpin Halloween special with her and Bob. So that's what we did. And then we decided after the fact, why not? Since this is a Halloween special and since season one was covered in this public feed by Marilyn and David, we thought, why not just make this an extra Halloween special for all of you listeners as well. So this is an example of what the What You Watchin' episodes are like, but I hope you just enjoy this bit of lightly spooky Halloween fun. Hey, Marilyn. Hey, Bob. What you watching?
Completely Untrue Adventures of Dick Turpin, the final episode. It sounds like, alas, but a good one.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's completely untrue.
Entirely.
The history is a bit suspect. I'm sure that the real Dick Turpin was a fashionista. No.
Not so much. I can go into that more if you like.
So this is a follow-up on a season one one-shot that Marilyn, you did with David after right. that season came out. So you can find that in the public feed or you can find it ad-free where you're listening to this, of course. And yeah, definitely recommend that. Just you guys did a great episode-by-episode analysis of the first season. And sadly, it seems the last season. But Marilyn, for anyone who landed here by accident, I mean, warning, we're about to go full spoiler. So if you want a spoiler-free hot takes, then check out that season one one-shot. I'll put a link in the show notes. But can you remind anyone who is lost, what is the completely made-up adventures of Dick Turpin? What's the premise of the show?
The premise is they've taken an historical character who was a highwayman named Dick Turpin, and they pull in a lot of the historical data, such as the town of Hempstead, and his father was a butcher, a lot of these different sorts of things. But it has been given the Noel Fielding treatment, which means it is wildly hysterical, utterly funny, you know, just really brisk dialogue and all kinds of riffs on cross-dressing and weird behaviors and puns and
knitting.
knitting makes an appearance. Basically, this Dick is a highwayman who cares more about having his locks flowing in the breeze. Mm-hmm. Very much a fashionista. And his crew are all a wild bunch of misfits, and they're a lot of fun. And I love the show because it is funny and affectionate. It's just, it's really great to know that you can have this entertainment that also says, yeah, it's okay to be kind. It's all right to be, you know, vegan and have a point of view and not use the usual shooting of guns and so forth to solve problems.
Hmm. Yeah, well put, well put. Yeah, definitely modern Monty Python vibes, definitely one for fans of Our Flag Means Death or What We Do in the Shadows. In fact, several What We Do in the Shadows actors appear in this show, mm-hmm. also in this Halloween special we're here to talk about today. So, Bob, nobody's heard from you yet on this show. What do you think of season one and the show overall?
Well, it's interesting. Growing up, I thought I really didn't like horror films and so forth. But on reflection, you know, growing up, I was a fan of The Twilight Zone and Alfred Hitchcock. And I'm amazed. I guess I have some of that. And this takes it to a great level. I mean, the comedy in here, it was mentioned, the star, Dick Turpin, his name is...
Noel Fielding.
Yes. He actually mentioned this, or and the writers have mentioned the inspiration from Princess Bride, which is one of my favorite movies. And the kind of dialogue they have here is just, it's over the top. It is just so much fun. And I think people would just love to dive into it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that it is one that maybe takes like an episode or two to get it, to get find your footing with it.
Yes,
I suppose.
Yes.
Like, what exactly am I watching?
What is this?
But then, you know, I'm always a sucker for a troupe of lovable characters and found family, and that's what it is at its heart. So, yeah. Definitely charmed by the end. So very disappointed to hear that it sounds like the season two is not going through. Can you fill us in on that, Marilyn?
Yes, the renewal of season two followed very shortly on the heels of this very successful season one. But January of this year, the plug got pulled. And there's a variety of explanations as to why, but everybody agrees that Fielding did not return to the set after the Christmas break. And his representatives said that filming had to be suspended due to, quote unquote, the illness of a key cast member, i.e. Noel himself.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they had done a lot of filming already, but they didn't have enough, I gather, or they hadn't filmed the scenes that they needed to bring season two to the finish that they wanted. So they just scrapped the whole thing.
Yeah.
Except for this one episode. And I don't know if I think it had to have been a through-acted episode. I don't think it could have been bits and pieces from a number of different filmings or whatever.
It seemed like one cohesive story, so.
Exactly. I think that it had to be that. Because initial reports suggested that nothing could be salvaged from the existing footage. So, and then somebody else said, oh, they're cobbling together one final episode, but from the interrupted shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it just means that they took out all the bits that might have been relevant to previous plot lines and developing plot lines or something like that. But it's definitely a cohesive episode. I think it's a little shorter than usual. I think it only runs about 34 minutes.
But so. I think, weren't they all in that range? They were all about 35 minutes?
Yeah, I thought they were more like 40, but I haven't looked.
Because
so.
I just been recently... a long time. I just binged this season, and I think they were all about
well, then you,
the same
you would
length.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it is a quick watch. But yeah, it's a shame that there won't be any more, and that it feels like we don't know what happened behind the scenes, and I hope that everything is okay with Noel Fielding, whatever was going on. But it feels like that we are at a moment right now, or especially a year or so ago, when all of the streamers suddenly decided we've overinvested in streaming. And Apple was also particularly getting called out for oh, they spent too much on this, even though it doesn't really matter because they're not doing it the same way Netflix is in terms of making it their primary business. But yeah, that they were, all the streamers were guilty of this, of looking for excuses to pull the plug, especially with the fallout of the strikes and the pandemic and everything like that. And I fear that this is, and I hate to say it, but often shows that had more overtly LGBTQ plus themes were often the ones who got the axe. So, yeah.
I think that is a viable suspicion. I have seen nothing along those lines yet, but it's early days. The Independent said that it was due to a health issue faced by Fielding towards the end of the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then said that this is a private and confidential matter
regarding
our client's health. Mm-hmm. We're saddened by the decision to cease production, but we cannot make any further comment on this matter.
Okay.
And it's not a decision. A source closer to the show told The Times the decision to scrap was a last resort. Quote, it's not a decision that was taken lightly, and they wouldn't have got to this extreme result if every possible solution hadn't been exhausted.
Okay. All right.
So I think I feel pretty confident. I mean, I did see a photo of him taken after the whole thing had been pulled. He was his face was very swollen. He looked quite bloated. He didn't look like he had a lot of energy. He was walking down the street with his wife, and so it could definitely lend credence to the notion that he had some sort of illness. And
I mean, but
just couldn't keep going.
Yeah, they could. I mean, I suppose it depends about the severity of the illness, and I really hope, obviously, for the best in that regard. But they could put it on hold, just saying.
Yeah. Okay. So he was seen in London in February 28th of this year.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope things have taken a turn for the better since. But
yeah, I hope so too. Yeah. There's also a bunch of cast and crew members who are reportedly considering a class action lawsuit against the makers of the show. So.
Right.
You know, people are always going to get their digs in, I guess.
Right. So the Halloween special was just a pleasant surprise that just was randomly dropped on Apple TV Plus. And Bob, how did you get into the show in the first place? Did Marilyn get you into it?
Yeah, I'm afraid it was Marilyn who got me into it. I don't know how we found out about it. But we haven't watched any episodes for a long time until this one dropped. And for folks that are listening, I think you could watch just this one and you'd be happy. It's a standalone in that way versus the other ones. And I was hoping to have time to go back and do what you did and watch some of the older episodes that we have watched months ago, whenever that was. Mm-hmm.
Years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Years ago. What time flies. So.
Are you interested in the history behind this at all?
Yeah. I mean, it does have, you know, being with Marilyn, there is a lot of different historical stuff that I've gotten exposed to, and it's wonderful, including going to England. And it's just been great to be exposed to that. I suppose I could mention really the our thing that's drawing us right now is the Great British Bake Off, which also stars Fielding. And that's as a matter of fact, when I listened to this episode, the very beginning of his voice sounded like he was doing something in the British Bake Off. I mean, he's just an actor, but it just came through to me because we've been watching that whole series pretty regularly here recently.
So on a Noel Fielding kick.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was great to see from him again.
No, I mean,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
IRL.
I don't know.
I think they made the werehorse.
Let us know if werehorse is a real
thing. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think so. But I think they got that in because of the tie-in where we see Moose. We open, sorry, not Moose. Honesty is dashing mm-hmm. through the forest, terrified, and says, "Yeah, I can't find my horse."
Right, right.
And so there's that one-off liner when he's,
"You can
oh,
ride
well,
me.
You yeah. can ride me." He turns into a beautiful gray stallion
at midnight. It's like, what is going on here?
So, in case people aren't aware of what a werebear is, it's a right. cursed soul that transforms into a bear under the light of the full moon. So I like this line here. It says, "I'm aware which bear is aware, and this bear beware." So,
yeah, so beware.
Beware.
I have that exact same quote. But you have to do it with the accent.
Oh, maybe Marilyn should do that. Marilyn does that. Go ahead.
"I'm aware which bears aware, and this bear beware. So beware."
And right, she, right. The actress who played, what was her name, Helga? Or
Helga is the name of the character.
Right.
I don't know the actress.
Yeah, no, the actress is from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Natasha.
Yep.
Natasha yeah. Dimitru, something like that.
Oh, and I wish I could put my finger on exactly what accent she was using. So listeners, if you know, I'm thinking it's sort of combination Liverpuglian and North Riding Yorkshire or something like that. But I loved it.
She likes to do the fun accents. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to say, the other, I heard you and David talking about it in the episode, the other, if you want more spooky fun from Dick Turpin, there is the witches episode. What is it called? The
Rattle Hag. The Curse of the Rattle Hag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was, and
the woman who played the witch, I don't know the actress's name, but she was fantastic.
She got a perfect blend of over-the-topness without mm-hmm. just being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really liked how she handled that. And actually, they were borrowing from that episode somewhat for this. So, you know, once the community learns that there's a werebear out there, they gather in the barn to discuss what to do. And it's very reminiscent of them gathering in the barn because there's a witch among us and we have to figure out who it is, mm-hmm. you know, complete with pitchforks and torches and, "You're the one! No, you're the one!" All that sort of thing.
In another show, it would be like the school dance or something in the episode to get all the characters together. But here it's, let's have a meeting about the witches.
Yes, have a meeting in the barn. Yes, yeah. The barn. No, the barn / room.
Right.
And if you watch it with subtitles, you will know that the dialogue is literally written /ROOM. But the actors are all saying barn / room. I also love that they have this AA style support group for social outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
In the first series, it was for the prisoners who were about to go to their executions. And so they're gathered around a table talking about what they did and that kind of thing. So here we have the AA style support group for werebears. Mm-hmm. And, It's terrific.
Can I ask you both, if you were going to be a were-animal, which were-animal would you want to be?
Oh, a were-cat, of course. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good
what
one.
What else is there?
I'd probably be a were-bear.
Yeah. I might be like a were-hawk or something. I don't know. It'd be cool to fly.
Hmm.
Or a were-parrot. Then I can also talk.
Well, since I'm a loon counter for my lake here on China Lake, I could be a were loon. No, wait a minute. Were loon. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, well, a were loon could be a pretty fierce thing. I love the way they kept saying when they heard the sound of the werebear in the woods to say, "That's probably a goose."
By a goose.
And then every time Helga shoots her arrows, some poor cat gets killed.
Yeah, all the cat slander in this episode, or the cat threats, or whatever we're going to call it, the fake cat
again,
deaths.
Reference to Monty Python, where they mm-hmm, mm-hmm. go into the village that's plague struck and some demented creature is banging the cat against the side of the wall. And it's rawr, rawr. I got a little bit distressed about that. But and the the dialogue between, this is one of the ironies from the beginning of the season, is that one of the reasons why Dick Turpin runs away from home to become a highwayman is because he is a vegan himself, mm-hmm. and his father is a butcher, mm-hmm. and expects him to, you know, take over the business when he retires, et cetera, et cetera. And so they use that a lot of times throughout the season. Mm-hmm. So this time his cousin Benny mm-hmm. steps in on his behalf, and that's when he semi booted out of the house, semi decides it's time to leave. And so they're driving a cart with eggs and cheese and honey. Mm-hmm. And Benny is trying to say, well, they're meat adjacent.
Mm-hmm. And they're not vegan.
Right. But the, you know, bees, meaty. And he says, Benny, there is no gray area in meat. Benny responds, and there ours is in our burgers.
And ours there is, yeah.
Alicia, I was wondering, what did you think of their treatment of veganism?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was, I really like how it's handled. He's just, Dick Turpin is, that's just, they have certain character traits that like make him this very specific character, which is only marginally linked with his legendary and other shows and things. Mm-hmm. And one of the very specific traits is that he's vegan, but he's never, he's never judging other people about it, just continuously yeah. gently encouraging or just being like, yeah. nope, not gonna eat that, you know. And so like in that case, cheese and honey are not vegan. I do eat honey and cheese. I'm not fully vegan myself. And I think
I didn't realize honey was vegan.
It's made with animals. But so there are vegan alternatives, like you could have agave syrup or yeah, there's lots of vegan alternatives, but honey's not vegan. But for me, I think that it's good to cultivate honey as long as it's done ethically. Obviously, you're not mm-hmm. harming the animals to do it. You're actually encouraging their populations to rebound because there's been a shortage. So that's my personal thought on honey. A lot of people will yell at me for that, and have for sure. And I just eat cheese because I like it, and I eat vegan cheese when possible, and sometimes I just want some feta. Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of at the very end when we're all...
Going to say about the Dick, the good thing about it is that he is not... he's happy for them to do that because at least it's meat adjacent, you know? Taking a step toward more sustainable
You're both
diet.
Enlarging your yeah. minds, and I'm very proud yeah. of you both.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, just that I'm reminded of the way in which at the very end of this show, we see their wonderful Wear Pride mm-hmm. celebration with the rainbow arcing and Wear Pride on it and everything. And Clive, who is the husband of Helga, who was the original werebear, comments that he thinks that, you know, Wear Pride might be a bit too commercial, and he just suddenly I'm thinking of all the debates and discussions that I've ever seen in the queer community about, you know, how should we be, quote unquote, and what does it mean to be gay, and all of these sort of fundamental questions, and you know, people can get really fierce about, no, it is not that, it is this. So I found it interesting that they brought that up. One thing I love about Clive is that he imitates the Swamp Castle Lord.
I built a house, and it sank in the swamp. I built another house, and it sank in the swamp. And I built another house, and this one stayed.
I mean, practically word for word, what the Castle Lord says about, you know,
I built this up from the ground, son, and I want you to have it.
And after having built in the swamp for three times, so. Definitely Monty Python adjacent.
Yeah, definitely paying tribute.
Mm-hmm. I like the Lord Rockwood, who was kind of there meeting, and he was he had the threat level, which I thought was a fun play on it. And as a politician, you could just see the thing he was saying. Well, I was guarded by all these people in my castle and everything, and I was safe. And the highest threat level, I thought, at the end that it came down with is, you're all going to definitely die.
Which is true.
But he's going to go on vacation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's already got his satchel packed and off he goes. I found it interesting. You know, he was talking about his velvet trousers and so on. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'll bet Dick likes velvet trousers too, but you don't hear anybody slanging the Lord about his velvet trouser habit.
Right. Right.
Because of course he's, you know, Lord so-and-so. So.
Although Dick Turpin is always like, it was drizzling outside and I was wearing suede and you can imagine that nightmare.
That's great. And I might have had an appointment, but I didn't. So just goes to show. Being cross with all of the drivers of carriages that didn't drive past that night. Right. And so were available to be robbed by this group.
Yeah, I was just watching a video. I am very interested in this period of British history. I've never like gone completely down the rabbit hole of the highwayman side of it, but it is something that regularly comes up just because it was a huge thing for like 170 years, something like that. But so I just watched like a couple videos to refresh my memory on the history. And they were talking, for example, about how Sunday they would tell people not to travel because that was the day that the police took off. So highwaymen would be like, okay, where's the Sunday coach that doesn't
where's
know?
The 1256?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, the reason why we're still talking about highwaymen today is because they became these figures of fantasy. Mm-hmm. In the minds of people, presumably those who had never been robbed by them, because, mm-hmm. you know, they were vicious, violent, almost always men. Mm-hmm. And they did terrible things and they held villages hostage. And, you know, they were not nice people, let's just say. Mm-mm. But the pamphlets, remember, the pamphlets is a big thing in the season that we have. That is absolutely historically accurate to the period. And people were writing these romantic pamphlets about, oh, the life of a highwayman. And, mm-hmm. Dick Turpin, the highwayman, strikes again. I think there was more than a touch of, you know, the underdog feeling, yeah, well, here's somebody who's striking back against the machine, you know, and the system and all those kind of things, which, you know, is fairly human characteristic, which we see to this day.
Right.
And then there was an opera made of him.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
I mean, I guess he
really,
he,
really strange.
It sounds like he was not nearly as dashing as he is portrayed in literature, which no surprise, and that a lot of his legend has been conflated with other highwaymen.
Yes.
But I suppose the most badass thing he did was, I heard you talking in the other podcast, the season one podcast, about the, what is it called, the short drop?
Yeah.
When they hang you, but they, instead of having it long enough that you snap your neck, they have a shorter rope so that you instead slowly strangle to death. Right. And he apparently was set up to do that and instead just like kicked over the barrel and jumped off himself to end it on his terms.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to talk about his mad ride on the black mare from
apparently that wasn't
Essex
him
York.
That was someone else.
Oh, that's right, that was somebody else. But you see how it accretes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and why Dick Turpin as opposed to, you know,
yeah, arbitrary 20
other, 'cause
somebody,
other highwaymen.
Somebody landed on that name and was like, this is our guy.
This is our guy, and we're gonna elaborate and embroider as much as we want. I mean, it's, again, similar to Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
At least we know Dick Turpin was historical and we have certain facts that the show pulls out very carefully and plants throughout the series. But I suppose it's the whole, I mean, nowadays I see it in things like wanting to make the villains, quote unquote, complex characters interesting. And
well, I think in real life, villains are complex characters. That's why I like it.
Right. But I'm seeing a thread here going all the way back to the 1700s and before that, presumably.
Yeah. They'd also romanticize things like, what was the other real life man who was famous for, at one point he stopped four women and he said that he would take only one quarter of their money if one of them came out and danced with him. And it was really romanticized in the news at the time. But then when you think about it, that was a gross harassment thing where,
it
you know,
sure
at
was.
Sword point, she's forced to come out and dance with this man in a way that's bullying her, basically.
For sure. And one of the episodes, I think, when the first episode with Tommy Silversides, reminds me of that very much. And I was getting pretty close to the ick there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some people might take it otherwise.
Yeah. So, yeah, do you have any final thoughts, Bob, about Dick Turpin, the completely untrue, made-up adventures of Dick Turpin, the Halloween special?
I definitely think that people should watch this for Halloween. It's great. Mm-hmm. And for, even if you're not really kind of into Halloween, I think this is a fabulous show.
Very light, yeah.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Actually, I watched it a second time, and I got some of the jokes I missed the first time because it goes right along, and it's it's really well, very well done. It's right up there with my love of Princess Bride and all those quotes that have come out over the years. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to that. It had that feeling to me.
It's definitely one of those shows that you need to watch with captions.
Mm. I watch everything with captions now, yeah.
Well, we do too.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't hear without the captions on.
Particularly when there are accents involved, I think for a lot of people makes it easier.
And there's a lot of punnery in this show too.
Oh my Lord. The things you'll miss if you don't catch them the first time. I mean, we started for the first 5 minutes when we watched it together, I think Saturday it was, or no, it was Sunday. And I said, Bob, we need the captions, and he put it on. When I went back and rewatched today, just that maybe 2 minutes, and I thought, oh, that's what he said. Oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, it just filled in so much. This is one of the characteristics of it. There is so much packed into these pithy things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's really rich. It really is rich.
And you can binge the whole season in a day. It's less than 4 hours for all 7 episodes.
Yeah, if you have 4 interrupted hours in your day.
You can binge it in 2 days if you prefer.
There you go. Yeah, it was delightful fun to see Noel and his colleagues doing their thing again. But it kind of felt bittersweet to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like, quote unquote, a capstone on the whole series.
Right.
And I think I had that expectation going in, which, you know, nobody said it was particularly. But I think I would like it best if it were sandwiched somewhere in the original series and leave the two final episodes of the original series back to back. So maybe the episode before the final two. Mm. Because those final two episodes do a wonderful through line and wrap up a couple of plot things. And so I really like that a lot.
Right. Right. Like, this doesn't leave any cliffhangers, but it clearly wasn't designed to be an end of something like the season finale was.
No, I'd really like to hear more about the decision. You know, why did they do this? I mean, on the one hand, great, you know, a little bit more of this wonderful cast.
I guess to get something out of it.
Funniness.
And
yet it's almost like you can have one taste of chocolate cake, you know, chocolate fudgy cake. But you can't have a whole piece. So leave them wanting more? I don't know.
The store didn't make enough cake.
Yeah.
Make more cake, Apple Store.
Yeah. I mean, in some respects, it really was rather similar to the Riddle Hag episode. And so some might say, oh, well, that's more appropriate for Halloween because witch. But
well,
either way.
Werebear, I mean, whatever. Yeah.
Werebear monsters. I mean, mm-hmm. Monsters generally, Halloween specifically, witchy. But, you know, take your pick. This one actually, I think, was lighter and a lot more fun. I think Riddle Hag had a couple serious notes.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
So. Yeah, I think Riddle Hag hit with me more because of that and because of the performance of the actress. It was just her
stunning.
Comedic timing was just impeccable. But yeah, this one was just like a fun, frothy adventure. With you know, the typical monster themes where it's like, well, what if the monster is actually human?
Yeah. And of course, that is the sort of subtle, gentle undertone of, hey, folks, we're treating some sectors of our society like monsters. And we should think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just started watching. I just did a rewatch of all the It stuff. Totally not your thing, Stephen King. But it is interesting to see the same themes being covered in such a gory way in terms of like gay bashing, things like that. Such a gory way on the one hand, and then immediately have the whiplash of seeing the same themes touched on in such like a fun, light way, if you could even say that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's been one of Noel's, well, not even subtexts, texts all along in this series, because of his own main character and how he's deciding to portray him. And
yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention and getting us to cover it. This was a really fun interlude with me between all the serious monster stuff I've been doing this month.
Oh, good. I'm glad to give you a little relief from all the monsterness of it all.
I mean, yeah, the monster stuff moves me, but this was fun.
Yeah.
And Bob, so glad that we finally got to podcast together.
Indeed. This has been great fun. And I would enjoy the tofu that they used as bait, that the werebear used as bait. And then one of the werebear came along and then said, no.
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 Yeah, see, okay, tofu, sometimes the structure, it depends how and where it's being used. Sometimes the structure does not hit for me, but if he had put some tempeh out there or something, come on. Now
there
we're talking.
We go. There we go. See, Helga or Noel should have come to you.
Yeah. I bet, is he vegan recipe. In real life?
Is I that don't where it know. Came from?
I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if he were, but I really don't know.
It's such a specific detail for them to, you know, really make a core part of the character. But I guess it has to do with the irony of his father being a butcher. That makes sense.
I think yeah. that's one of the chief reasons. And I think he just took it and ran with it because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He makes it fun. That's what I love about Fielding. He takes things that you might think would be uncomfortable or serious and he just makes them fun and funny. Yeah. And at the same time, by that opens your gates a little bit. To say, yeah, well, maybe I really could be compassionate. Maybe I could really feel more comfortable in a community that makes me uncomfortable for whatever reasons.
Yeah. And also in the way that the Dick Turpin character takes the teasing about being a vegan, you know, just takes it in stride. Like, you all don't know what you're missing. And kind of demonstrating also, like, yeah, people are going to give you a hard time for things in your life. And it's about how you respond to it, because not all of it's that serious.
Well, that first scene in the tavern between the four of them and the other carriage drivers, you know, that one carriage driver is just being obnoxious about Dick's characteristics, you know, calling him her and sister and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Dick, it really diffuses it all by just, you know, I don't know. It's almost like he's not even saying it.
Right. Like, he just takes the power away from the bully.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. By just not caring.
Not caring. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. And that is another one of those themes. And we see this with the characters of Moose and Honesty from time to time. It's, you know, be who you are and just don't care.
Yeah.
If it gets up some people's noses.
And if there's any holiday for that, then I would say Halloween or Samhain, if we want to go back to older forms, would be
definitely
the place to celebrate that.
Definitely.
Wear pride for all.
And other kinds of pride, too.
So this, the complete made-up adventures of Dick Turpin is inconceivably good.
Now I'm thinking, Princess Bride, inconceivable.
Yes,
that, I keep saying that word, but I don't think it means what you
think it means. Yeah.
Well, let me explain. We have explained. No, it is too long. We will have to summarize. So hopefully we have done a good summary today.
Yes. If you are a fan of Princess Bride, you will probably be a fan of Dick Turpin. If you have listened to us this long without having watched it, well, thank you for your company and go watch it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Lorehounds. Please send any questions and feedback to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com and check out our Supercast and Patreon feeds for ad-free access and bonus episodes. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thank you. Happy Halloween.